I'm hitting all the sides and everything. Well, hello everyone. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and pray first and then go on with some scriptures. If I feel need to pray in between, I'll do that. So, Father, I just thank you, Father God, for this evening, Lord, for your word, your presence. Father, to fill this place, to fill this vessel here, Father, before you, Lord, to bring forth your word, my God. Father, I just thank you for your presence, Lord God. Guide me as we go through, Father God. Let this vessel spill over unto those, Father God, to receive your words for an understanding. Father God, your words be spoken, not my own. So correct me when it has to be corrected, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be out of the book of Ephesians this evening, chapter 5. And I only have a few verses, so I'm not really going to be too much in depth. But we'll go for it. Oh, what's the matter? Did I just check my water? Okay. All right, here we go. Verse 5 and 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which this which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for the things of God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's redeeming the time. You know, there's times we know that the times are evil. We can see it. I mean, everything that's going on, just listen to what's being said out there. Things that are happening, you know, you got to be correct. When things that are bad are considered good, there's something wrong, you know. What was Pastor Larry saying, that evil is dysfunction? You know, it's evil times. It's a dysfunction world that we're in right now. And I see it getting worse and worse. And I saw it throughout the last years in our country, where certain people had influence and changed things in our lives. Not in our lives, but in our country. But here he says to redeem the times. Okay? So redeeming the time, what are we talking about here? It's to take back, okay? Whether it was taken from you, stolen from you, lost it, but it's redeemed. It's to get it back. The Lord wants us to get things back. And he wants to give it to you with favor. He wants you to hang on to what he has. The word of God has been distorted. It's been misused. It's another word for distorted, but took it out of context. Just a whole bunch of stuff that's gone on, or used in a way for evil gain. People manipulating the word of God, you know. But redeeming the time, because the days are evil, therefore do not be unwise. But redeeming the time, go to Colossians 4 and 5. You have it up here, right? It says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeem the time. What does it mean? What does it mean, walk towards those that are outside? Lost, there you go. Those who don't know. So you got to remember that you're walking in faith, walking in the word of God. Now, if I go and I act differently and try to bring a person into God, how does that look? You know what I mean? I'm going to be like this, and you can imagine what this could be, but maybe I'm doing this, and I'm trying to tell you about the things of God. Did you get the illustration? Okay. The illustration and other things. I could be doing something else in my life, and yet trying to witness or be, you know, using the word of God. I might, maybe my heart might be right, but my actions show differently. So if I'm doing things that are not of God and trying to speak the words of God, how do I influence the outsides or those who are outside? How am I going to reach them? What would you think? And there's many who are that way, and there's many who move forward and do the right things of God, but yet fall into a trap and change. As they say, they go back to the things that they were, as a dog returning to its vomit. Okay? But because the times are short and the time is going fast. I mean, look at where we're at. We're in May. We're coming up in June. It just seemed like it was just a month or two ago. And we've been experiencing it. It's been accelerated. Time is going fast. So there's an urgency that we have. You know, one of the sins that the Lord hates is what? Slothfulness. Has anybody been? I was a sloth. I had my leg up on the top of the couch. You know, slow moving, rolling over. Babe, can you get me some water? Rolling back over. Going like this. You know, being slow moving, but being that way in the things of God, we can easily fall into that trap. You know, what would they say? They always try to put this on the Mexican, mañana, tomorrow, man, tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. Who's done that? Who's done it too often? Well, yeah, being a sloth, you know, I just throw my leg up on the, stretch out this way, get the other one, my hand back this way, fix the pillow. I'm good. I ain't going nowhere. But the Lord's talking to me. Man, you need to do something. You know, turn off the TV. Get up and walk. Walk and talk. Get with the Lord. But redeem time. Get ready. Get armored up. Get suited up. Ephesians talks about wearing the full armor of God. Get ready for the things that are to come. God is waiting for us to move. Okay? God is waiting for us to move. He wants us to go out, even if it's to your family, your friend. Sometimes it's hard, right? Sometimes it might be a little hard to talk to your family. You know? They see you coming. They see you coming. Oh, comes that. Oh, here he goes. You know? Or here she comes. You know? And off to the side, here comes the thumper, the Bible thumper. Here we go, we're going to get a sermon or something, you know. And if you're blessed and your whole family is saved, and you know, and you're in one accord. But not too many people have it that way. But you know, be the light. Be the light. You know, I was talking to Denise earlier about, you know, someone wanting to wear tattoos and wanted to put things of God, you know. Put something here. I don't know, the face of Jesus tattoo here or whatever, anything, a scripture and everything. I said, wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't it be better if you show your light? You know, if you show who you are in Christ, you don't need a tattoo. You know, if you can't get away from that, wear a T-shirt. Wear something that has a scripture on it. Don't mark yourself up. Because if you stumble and fall, how are you going to look with that scripture? What would people might mock you or something, but pray to God it doesn't happen. But let your light shine. Show who you are in Christ. You know, it talks about having love, peace, you know, doing all this, making it sound like it's something different. But being in the will of God, okay? Verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So in Romans, where do we go in Romans 12 and 2? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We all know that scripture, right? But we need to remind ourselves. We need to remind ourselves, who are we? Who are we? Who are you? Look in that mirror and look in that mirror and look at, who are you? I seen myself in the mirror and I said, man, Luke, who's that old guy you're with? You know, well, I have to do something about this. You know, I think it's beyond gray, it's white. But, you know, you look and you sometimes you have to get in the mirror and you have to talk to yourself. You have to look eye to eye and say, you know what, you're not right. You're not right. You need to get with the program. I've done it. I've done it where, I looked and I said, you know, you can't be that way. You need to be in the perfect will of God, okay? And how do you become in the perfect will of God? You got to get in your word. You got to spend some time. How do you build a relationship? How do you build a relationship? Right? You recognize a person. You interact. You talk, right? Think of all the people that you know, even your family. I mean, it's easy to isolate yourself from people. You know, nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. You know, woe is me. You know, we can easily get that way. We can easily get caught up in saying, you know, but you know what? You have a what? A friend in Jesus, right? If nobody in the world cares for you, God does, right? The sun will shine. You'll have favor with God. You couldn't have a better friend than that. Because you know what? Once you're in that will of God, everything else comes. You know, maybe the flowers show up, you know. You think of, look at the things of God. You know, a flower. You can go and buy fake ones, but you think of the intricate things that God has put in a flower and how he made the ecosystem work. But here, if you have God, you know, hey, they don't love me anymore. It's okay. I have Jesus. You know, you lift them up in prayer. God will open up their eyes. That the scales come out. Let it be real. You know, God will show them because you pray because we see things differently. I used to have when I was working, I used to have my hard hat, which you're not supposed to have anything on your hard hat. And me being up in supervision, I kind of bend the rules a little bit. And I had a hard hat. I mean, excuse me, a decal on the back of my hard hat. And it was the not of this world with the symbol. But you know what? I got a lot of curiosity out of that. I'd be out in the field working and there. And I knew I was wearing it. One time I had all of management and engineers behind me. Nobody told me anything. But I know it was peaking in their mind because other guys came up to me and they go, hey, what is that? Is that some kind of a gothic, you know, sign? I said, no, man. I go, look at it right. It's a cross, and it says, not of this world. That T right there, not of this world. It was, oh, I see it all over. I see it on vehicles, and so that's what it means. I go, yeah, you want to know more about it? So it opened up the doors, you know. The things of God can open up the door. But let your light shine, you know. It's so easy to be shy, you know, if you're not used to speaking out. About even for myself at times, maybe I'll be at some place and I won't be able to speak the word of God. Not that I'm tongue-tied, it's just that I don't need a nudge, I need a pin, boom, to make me move, you know what I mean? Poke you to get out there and just go, hey, you know Jesus, you know. I'm not like Pastor Dennis. I mean, we can go places, you know. I never forget the time we went out on the dinner boat cruise, we're getting off, and they have their nice long ramp. Big Samoan brother down at the end of the ramp, and we're walking off. Hey, bless you, brother. Goodbye. Good evening. Go, hey, where's Dennis? He has that big guy crying in the corner. You know, that was hilarious. So, I mean, it was funny. We go, where is he at? He had that big guy. I mean, this was a big guy, you know, football size player guy. And Dennis says to him, hey, brother, thank you. And he goes, how's your walk? And he goes, not good. He goes, why not? He goes, let's take care of it now. Next to turn around, he has that guy praying and this guy's just tear-dropping. Big man, you know. He must have been about 6'7", 300 and something pounds easily. You know, lightweight, I think, for him was 300 pounds. But I was looking, going, we all walked by. Next, you know, he's got this guy crying. It was another time. I'm gonna brag on you, Pastor. I'm going to brag on Pastor. But see, it's not Pastor. It's him being open to the things of God. Right? We were somewhere, and this young lady with her kid came up, and I don't remember exactly what she was doing, but she came in and she asked Pastor,
Yeah.
No, it was at the aquarium in Monterey, up north. And so she came up to him. It was in the center. It was in the center of this of the opening, and she came up and she had her child and she asked, "Can you pray for us?" Her husband was in the military. It was over. It just passed away. She was brokenhearted, and yet she was. And we were there, and he got her hands, and prayed for her. And like you said, it's just like everybody stopped. Everybody stopped. She was crying. He's holding her hands and he's praying to her. That was an awesome sight, man. It was God's presence there. He did pray to about three or four people in that little area. They just came. It just came. So, see, being obedient unto God, that's what he was doing. He's a God-filled. He's hung around with the Lord so much that he's mimicking him. He's doing what he's doing. You know, he's out there. How many of us walk by? I'm notorious for that. Hey, you know, get my car, go away, you know. Turn around and look for this guy. Praying, you know, he's doing this. But, you know, I sometimes envy what he does, but he's just being obedient. It's his nature of how he talks. So a lot of the way of the things that we do, how we socialize as we were growing up, kind of opened that door. You know, he likes to climb a kid around and everything, but he uses that. God uses that to open doors. And when he's serious, you can see it. I've been around him that, you know, enough to see how he goes. But see, we're the same way. You know, if you're shy or you don't want to speak up, or sometimes you feel that you can't express what God wants. But, you know, once you get going, man, it just unleashes. It's just like an egg just broke. And it's all over. That, you know, that anointing just comes out. And it's not you. What did Paul do before Caesar? You know, the Spirit came over and he just told him everything. You come out, you do the same thing. The Spirit flows and it's just taking over. Just like right now. You know, it's just working. God moves in your behalf. He just wants you to be an instrument for him. You know, everybody has a gift. Everybody can do things. I can't do eyelashes like our sister here, right? You know, that's not my skill. You know, Karen's, you know, that's her technique. That's what she does. But in those things, you know, you meet people, conversation can come about. You know, she can be up there attaching those big lids on and just praying over that person, you know. You know, you're working on the car. And the person, man, we're talking about my car. Well, you know, your car needs Jesus. We got to pray on this thing. You know, so you open up the door. Who was it then? Oh, it was... My niece, my sister was here in Vegas when she was here the last time. I had her granddaughter trapped with me in the car. I told her, "Oh, I'm sorry you're trapped with me," but we talked about the Lord all the way up. But see, it was God doing it though. Things that were happening. So it's not us. You know, you could be the shyest person, but when you get the things of God, you could be the boldest person. You know, the last time I was talking about being... You know, Navy SEALs for Christ, you know, going out and praying, you know, that is the most important. Prayer is important. And when you have those prayer warriors, you know, just like in the older women in the Hebrides or something that prayed for their town, and 90-something-year-old women, they were praying the words of God and everything. And I'm getting away from what I was going to do tonight. But you know, God, it doesn't matter who you are and what you think you can and cannot do. Ask him. He'll use you. You got potential to do anything you want in Christ Jesus, right? What does the word say? See this thing right here? This is a manual to life. Everything you want to know, everything that's been done, you know, what does it say? Basic instructions before leaving earth. But it is a manual for life. It'll tell you, you know, it's almost like your parents talking to you. And nobody wanted to hear their parents growing up. You know, don't go over there. It's not good for you. Stay away from that person. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Next thing you know, that Mom, Dad, yes. Something happened to you. But the word of God right here, the anointing, people will fight with you and tell you, "Oh, it was written by man." Yes, man had to do it. Just like I'm here standing before you as a man sharing the word of God with you. Okay? You weren't here when Jesus walked the world, so he's sending me. You know? How awesome that a God who loved us decided to come down in the flesh to save us. To save us because Adam jacked it up. No. because man faltered and fell. Satan crept in. Okay? So God has a strategic plan. He covered all bases. Okay? So anyways, making it sound like. But be in the will of God. Just be willing. Just be willing to do the things of God. Sometimes we want to fight. Oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to get into the word. I don't want to do this. And, you know, I've been there. I've done that. But God just wants to be your friend. And when you let God be your friend, he will open up the doors. You know, how do you make friends? Anybody got an idea? Somebody throw something at me. I mean, don't throw anything, but you know, how do you make friends? Be friendly. So for some people, it's hard. Some people are shy. You know, they kind of ease their way in. But if you're in that situation, you can ask God, Lord, I'm a very shy person. And he knows how you are and who you are. And saying, give me the strength to speak the words, to utter your words, to break the ice pretty much. To go out and meet people. Okay, verse 18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine. In which, we read that, right? Which is dispensation. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with God's presence. We talked about Romans. Maybe I wasn't finished, right? Romans 12 says not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. I got a little ahead of myself. But let's go to 1 John. 1 John 2 and 15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Man, we are surrounded by the things of this world. You know, what do you love? What do you love in this world? A lot of things, right? TV programs, sports, you know, work. You know, homemakers, kids, you know, things those aren't bad things. But if they take away from the things of God, now they're a distraction. Okay? But, so don't get caught up. And what are the other things? And we'll get a little bit more in here. Things of the world. Go to Ephesians 4 and 3. It says, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Is that right? Is that what I wanted? Okay. Oh, yeah, keep going. It goes all the way to 6. I'm sorry. All right, where are we at? There is no body and one Spirit. Excuse me. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. A little southern there. Somebody from the south there. And you all. Okay? It is one God, right? The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all in one. I heard one guy talk about this. I saw on the TV and I don't know if it was somebody that was interviewing. I know what it was. What's that guy, Bill Maher? Cable host, he went to go and find, what's this thing, Jesus? And he went around. Well, he ended up at the, what's that, in Florida, they have the Holy Land. So he went and talked to this guy, and he goes, well, tell me about, you know, this Jesus, you know. How do you get, you know, you have the Father, Son? He goes, what does that really mean? His Father, Son, it's Trinity, Father, God, you know, Father, Son, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God. It's all in one. He goes, well, how do you define it? And I thought the way he said it was really cool. He goes, ice? You figure ice. He goes, yeah. It's the same, right? Water? It's the same. It evaporates. That's the Spirit. Right? So it's a 3-in-1. It's still the same thing. So water can freeze. You have a... It cycles itself. It I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you know, it's a solid. Wasn't Christ here in the flesh?
Yes.
Right? You could touch him. There was something you could touch. The Father is the creator. The water, the Spirit of God flows. It's a river of life, right? As a vapor, as a spirit. They'll be looking at me puzzled. Am I saying it wrong, babe? She looked at me like, she'll straighten me out later. But when you think about it, I thought it was a good illustration. I might not be saying it right. But he said, you know, you take water for it. You can make the water hard. The water will dissipate. It'll move back up into the atmosphere. It recycles. It comes down. But it's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. God is one. It's the one same thing. So, and it talks about, you know, and through all and in you all. So through us, God works through us. As long as we are open and obedient to him and willing to be a part of it. You know, we hear so much about, I'm a tool in the toolbox, right? There's a tool designed for every particular task, right? So whatever you are as a tool, God will use you as long as you're obedient and you want to do it. Okay. Verse 19, it says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things of God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, loving one another, being in the Spirit, speaking in hymns and songs, you know. My wife, if her conversation can be about God all day, she's fine with that. You know, it's just her, you know. And when you do speak of the things of God, you get excited, you get lit up, you know. The Spirit is this, you know, the saying, iron sharpens iron. When one man talks to another and you're in the things of God, it builds you up. Speaking, because you're using your tongue and you're confessing the things of God, right? You're confessing the things of God. The word, right? He says, speak the word. The word that is in you. Now, because we have this powerful little piece in our mouth, they can chop you up, destroy you. Destroy you? Ever destroy somebody with your tongue? Ooh, man. You know? But you can destroy somebody with your words. And then the tone of your words. And then you throw a little facial expression in there. You know, it'll make a whole different. But you know, your words can cut. Your words can hurt, right? But if you speak the things of God, only things of prosperity and peace and love, you know. It's it. You know, you talk to somebody who's looking at you with cross-eyed and got a frown on them, and you're trying to share the word of God, and you're thinking, dang it, they're not getting it. There's some that won't get it at all. But you know what? You planted a seed. God's word, what? Doesn't go void, right? Doesn't never return. Whatever you pray, whatever you say, things of God, that man's going to be healed. That guy over there, no way. Right, Pastor? Huh? That woman, oh, man, she's, forget about her. She's doomed, you know. Those kids, they're going to end up in prison. You know, how many times do we speak things like that over people? How about saying those kids, God's going to get a hold of them and change them. Instead of speaking that they're going to go here, they're going to end up in juvie. You know, things like that. You know, I don't know about my grandkids. I know about my grandkids are going to be saved. You know, so the things is this tongue. We need to harness this thing. We need to speak the things of God. Here he says, talks about, you know, with psalms and hymns, you know. Go to bed singing some songs. Wake up in the morning singing some songs. You know, read the psalms. But, you know, be in the word of God. You know, the bad part is we get away. We get away from it. But you know what? Being in the word of God, I don't hear myself snack, crackle, and pop in the morning. If you're my age, you know what I'm talking about. They hit the floors, your joints, getting into place. But you know what? God just wants to pal around with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to guide you in a direction you should not go. He's trying to guide you away from the direction that we want to go into a better direction. Who knows best? What was that old TV program? Father knows best, right? You know, let me see. I think I'm showing my age here. There's only a few here. Father knows best. But you know, our Lord and Savior, our Father in heaven, is not going to do anything to hurt you. You know, people think, well, why did God let me do this? Why did God let me go through this? Well, somebody's got to build you up. You know, somebody's got to toughen you up. You know, I always use this illustration. You ever get a toddler learning how to walk? You know, they get your finger. You got the little hands. They're like this. They're walking. They're all up in the air. You know, then you get a little bold with them, and you pull one finger out, and they're doing this. You take the other one, and then they hit the ground. Well, that child's got to get up and walk. If you keep doing this, they're 7 years old and you're still doing this, come on, people are going to think, what's wrong with you? But see, even if you're at work and people around you are saying things or you're going through the hardest time, you know what? I'm going to take it to the Lord. I'm going to take it to God. That person that talks about me the worst is going to be my best friend. You know what I mean? You turn things around with your words. You're going to say, oh, God, all he do is talk. He talked to me. Don't tell me that. That's all, everything. I can't even work no more out there. But you know what? Say, you know what, Lord? It's tough. It's tough. No, I don't know if I can take it, Lord. But you know what? Bring somebody in or make that friend. Make him my best friend in this place. Turn him around, you know. Maybe some of you already experienced that. I've experienced at times in my life where people try to have you stumble. Not saying making you sin, but making you trip you up, you know. In my last promotion, I went through that. I was an outsider, so it was even worse. But God will be there for you. God will have your back. You know, you guys that are the seals, what do they always say in the military? I got your six. You know what your six is, right? Got your back. Watch your six. Watch your back. Okay? So your Father in heaven watches out for you. Let me see what other scripture I got here. What time do we go home? I know. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. This is referring back to verse 17 about understanding what the will of God is. And it's just one verse. Is that up there? For this is the will of God. You sanctify your sanctification that you should, what is it? Abstain from sexual immorality. Probably the way this world is today, it is crazy. You're bombarded. You can't even watch a program without them bringing something in it. Somebody that's even gone beyond morality. But what also is, you know, that's sexual morality. So abstain from that. Don't get involved in that kind of stuff. You know, what does that lead to? Abortion. For people who engage in things like, you know, having sex and they're doing all this. If you cut back or you don't do what you're supposed to do, you end up in trouble. But you know, immorality, just going out there and just doing whatever. Don't be as the world. You are the son and daughter of a king. They should respect you that way. Every man should respect that woman as the daughter of the king. What happens if you abuse the king's daughter? Off with your head. You know? Think about it. Think about it. You will grow up to be a proper man. You would. But immorality is just not just that, but is being immoral. Okay? With some of the things. What is being immoral, the character of being immoral, it's about your conduct. Okay? You know, do you have good morals? What is your ethics in life on how you see things, how you respond. Most of the Christians, good people growing up, they got good morals. But we need spiritual morals. You know, little things there that aren't mine that I just go ahead and pick up. I shouldn't be doing that. You know, little things. You start with little things, end up to big things. You don't want nothing to hinder your walk in God. You don't want your blessings to be taken away. What happens when you did something wrong as a kid? You got caught, right? Got caught, got punished, you got spanked, okay? You know, I was really planning on going here, but I got caught doing something, I got punished, you know? So the little things, let's be better than what we are. You know, hey, if you're in royalty, what do they train you up to be? To be proper, to have good morals, to learn how to speak, to learn how to act. You're royalty. Think about it. Think about who you are representing. Who you're representing. You know, it's okay to have fun. But don't let your fun go into another end. You know, be holy. It doesn't mean just because you walk around and you got to be holy and humming and, you know, you can have a great time in the Lord. You can have a great time in the things of God. I mean, who hasn't had a good time? You know what the best time is? The best time really in Christ and when you see changes. You get so happy and you think, man, look at that. Look at what God did. Hey, you know what? And he had me pray for that person. Right? Think about your life. Think about where we came, how we used to be, how we acted, you know, how we thought, you know. You know, where I grew up, if you left anything out, you didn't want it. You're taking it. You know, it was like you left it out. Oh, they don't want no more, take it. Go and paint a different color. Looks good. You know, that sometimes we're raised that way. You know, think about it and see, okay, I'm not hurting nobody. That was something everybody just thought it was okay to do because it should have been locked up and put away. You left it out. You didn't want it no more. Taught you a lesson, right? If you were that person on the other end, they said, hey, where's my stuff? I left it outside. It's gone. Cried. Lost whatever it was. Boo-hoo. Mom said, why'd you leave it outside? You know? Why are you giving up your blessings? Has anybody ever gave up a blessing that God has given them? I think maybe in some form or another we might have done it without realizing that we did it. So, and we repent. You know, a little kid. I like to use little kids because I always look at God the Father, right? And he'll correct us. He'll spank us, put us in the corner, you know, until we understand what he's all about. But if you don't get into your word and you don't talk to God and everything, how are you going to know? How many of you know me? Yeah, look at that, nobody. You know who I am, but do you know me? Right? I had told this to my sister one time. We were having Bible study. This was years ago at my house. My sister's a little older than me. And we haven't lived together for over 30-some years. And I told her, how well do you know me? And she goes, well, I know you and everything. And I go, no, really, what do you know about me? And she just says, I don't know you. You see, we're sister and brother. We communicated. She used to drive pass by my house. We were in the same neighborhood. You know, hey, there she goes. I waved to her. I was a signal man in my neighborhood at one time because everybody that went by, I waved to them, you know. That way, you know. But, you know, I would see my family, you guys, see friends, and I'd wave. But that's how I saw my sister a few times during the week. She went by, you know. But we did not interact every day. Right? And I told her, I go, really? You know, we haven't lived together. Maybe it was more than 30 years, probably 40 or something. But think about it. Think about yourself, you know. Who do you know? My grandkids, I have enough of them. There's probably going to be more somewhere in the future. But I don't know them all that well. You know, they're not beside me. You know, my sons and my daughter, I know them well. We talk quite a bit. They're young men and they're doing good, but you know, there's still some things I don't know. You know, they don't know. I remember one time they were spilling their beans in front of me and Loopy about things that they used to do. You know, because they're older now and they're not going to get punished. They don't even live with us. But some of the stuff, but seriously, think about it. How well? Nobody raised their hand and said they knew me. I'm disappointed. Thank you. How well do you know about that? Right? But think about it. Think about your relationship. You know, the only way you're going to get to know somebody is you constantly spend time with them. You know, my wife knows me pretty good. You know, maybe out of 100%, maybe 90%, maybe there's 10% she don't know. You know, right? Not that I'm hiding anything or something. It's just she don't know everything about me. I don't know everything about her. I don't think any of us would know a person 100%, because we don't always. You could assume you know their thoughts and what they're thinking of. We don't know, but God knows everything about us. He knows your thoughts, right? He knows your feelings. He does. He knows everything about it. What are you going to hide? You know, what did Adam say? Jesus is calling. Jesus, God, he was calling him. Adam, where are you? And Adam's hiding behind the bushes, all ashamed and everything. Did wrong, you know. But God is in control. God wants to be our friends. God wants to serve us. He wants us to be in his will. He wants us to sanctify ourselves. He sanctifying us is be holy, for I am holy. Okay? Yeah, you know, we make it hard. There's a lot of little tasks we make hard. Oh, God, I dread that. Oh, man. I got to go take care of that. I got to do this. We make a big, you know, that little hill is like a mountain. You know, it's like, oh, man, I gotta go up Everest today. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And it's only a little foothill. I remember the first time I went to Hawaii, it was in Oahu. And Lupi and I were in an apartment, but up in the hotel. And I opened up the window in the morning, and there you see Diamond Head, right? And there, and I'm looking at it, and I go, huh? I told Lupi, it looks like a foothill. It looks like the hills right here, you know, because it's not a very high volcano. You know, an extinct volcano, but, you know, you see a picture of Hawaii, you see Diamond Head there and everything. I'm looking out the window. I think we might have been on the 7th floor, and I had a nice view of it, and I'm looking, I go, it's like a foothill. You see him right here, you know. It didn't even seem very high. It's like, oh, here it is. You see pictures, and it looks like this massive volcano and everything. But see, you see how our perspective of things, you know, we can make, you know, think about when you were a kid, when you first had to ride a bike. Oh, man, that's two wheels. You'd be like, you know, like this. But determined, my daughter, I didn't want to teach her how to ride a two-wheel bike, and she kept telling me, Dad. But we lived in a dangerous area for her to ride her bike. Cars would come by. And she kept asking me. I said, oh, later on. But she finally determined, did it herself. I was kind of hurt because I had to avoid it, but I didn't do it because I didn't want her to end up in the street and get hit or something. But she was determined to get it done, to learn how to do it. She was determined to learn a lot of other things. We need to be determined to get to know God. We need to be determined to read the Word. So all those things in our lives, you can look at yourself and your life and figure there's certain things, but again, God knows your thoughts. He knows your ways, right? His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways. But he knows everything about it. He's the creator. How could you? You know, I used the illustration when I used to play army men. And I lined up all the army men, and I determined who was going to be blown up or whatever, you know. Because, hey, I created this game, you know. I set it up. God is the creator. But we can ask him why. We can intervene in certain situations. But we need to learn, know the master. And if there's a time in your life where you're unsure, don't let that devil say you don't know him. If you bend your knees and you confess to him and you ask him to be, he will come. He's there already. He's just waiting for the invitation. He's just waiting to be a little bit, oh, you want to talk to me? Come on over. That's what it's all about. But don't use him like, I only want this. You know, I think a while back saying, oh, Lord, you get me out of this, man. I'll go to church every Sunday. You know, I'll read 3 pages of the Bible. You know, so he's not going to be fooled. Be sincere, man. Use this tongue for honor, for worshiping, speaking the words of God, and believing in your heart that what is written here is true. Because our God does not lie. He says, you know, there's a lot of times he says, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you. So you need to determine what you got in the Word of God. And we got a great thing. We got the Creator in your life, right? All right. Well, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence this evening.